talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, thank you, Will from America, for the theme to our This Week in Survivor. I am Rob Cesternino, and I'm very excited to talk about everything happening this week. And then we will also play our This Week in Survivor History quiz with the host of This Week in Survivor History. Jordan Kalish is here. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I hear that Ron Clark and Aubrey are working on choreography for the Will from America Twitch song.
Okay, that'll be great. That'll be very exciting. We can talk about that later on in the show, but I'm very excited to bring in our guests to talk about everything happening this week in Survivor. Please welcome a great friend of the podcast, Pooya Zanvakili.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I believe this is my first time really being in the same virtual room as Dees Ghoulish, and I'm really excited.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, very excited to have you back with us here to talk about Survivor. Pooya, how are you enjoying 2 weeks of Survivor Edge of Extinction?
Honestly, I'm relatively pleased with what's going on. Yeah, like many, I kind of was coming in on sour grapes, like, man, I don't think this is going to live up to what 37 was. But here we are, and I've enjoyed both episodes, and I think we're going in a good direction. I think with everything that this twist has brought to us, I feel like I'm pleasantly surprised at how much I'm enjoying taking it in, because I really did not think I was going to like The Edge of Extinction, but here I am.
Okay, all right. We are in the thick of the Survivor podcast week right now. Of course, I talked to Steven after the episode, had a really fun podcast with Coach, lots of great reviews. And then over the weekend, we're recording this on Saturday or early afternoon, just posted my conversation with Lyrsa, who was very fun to talk to. So hope you guys enjoyed all of those podcasts. Wiggle Room still to come this week. Don't forget about the RHAP B&B and why Keith lost. Pooya, speaking of the B&B, that I heard you on the B&B some time ago, and you talked about how that you have a ritual for every episode of Survivor. And I would love to hear more about this, if you still practice this ritual of how you take in every episode of Survivor.
Right. Yes. So this is my ritual. So I watch the episode, you know, like everyone else on the TV. It's all good. But then for the rewatch, I watch with headphones in. I watch with volume up so that I can take in every bit that I would have missed watching on TV the day before or the night before. So that's pretty much how I consume Survivor episode by episode.
Okay. And is this like an immersive experience for you? Is this like the closest that you could get to like virtual reality Survivor?
Yeah, essentially, outside of wearing the goggles, your ears are taking you on the journey without you visually being there and having to watch Ron Clark do what he thinks is the Milliwalk.
Jordan, is this how you recommend that people take in the This Week in Survivor History quiz? Should they do a second viewing or second listening?
I think everyone should listen to Twitch at least two times. And yes, I think you need the whole thing. You need the headphones. I think you should put some sort of blindfold on or lights off, whatever you need to do, so you're just immersed into the sound of This Week in Survivor History. It's too bad we're not on video, because I think then people could get a further dimension of what it's like to be in the Twitch hot seat.
I am a big fan of the multiple viewings. I mean, especially for what I do with the podcast, I do feel like that there's like one time where you're going through it and you don't know what's going to happen. And then there's a second time going through it where then you can see all the little like clues that were leading up to what was going to happen. Pooya, did you catch anything on either your first or second viewing that you feel like people might have missed this week?
Definitely. The first thing I caught was this episode was innuendo central. There was a lot of stuff Jeff said, a lot of stuff other people said, and there was a lot more snake going on than just the challenge. And I'll leave it at that.
That is one heavy snake.
Yes. As Aubrey pointed out. As Aubrey and many of our keen listeners and viewers have pointed out, was that what you picked up on when you watched a second time staring at the screen with the headphones on?
Yes, yes. And that's where I was like, okay, it's pretty decent that I don't have the goggles. The audio is fine. Don't need the VR goggles here.
Okay, Puya, do you have a favorite of the returning players this season?
Yeah, I would have to say, similar to Mr. Liguori from last week, I am also on the Team Kelly.
Team Wentworth.
Yeah, Team Wentworth. Definitely yes. Digging what I'm seeing with Wentworth. Although I'm starting to get a little worried about Wentworth, but I think she got this. She goat this, if you will.
She got this. How concerned should Kelly Wentworth fans be? Because I think that it's hard to tell with Survivor, because I think that they like to tell us, like, oh, this person's in trouble. This person's in trouble. This is the week that they're going to get voted out. Even last season with Christian, there was a lot of, up until the point where he did get voted out, it was like every single week, oh, Christian's going home this week. So how concerned should a Kelly Wentworth fan be about her position right now?
At least I would say about, like, it's a 50-50 right now, because there's still not a definitive, oh no, she's gonzo situation where she still has fight. She still has room to play. My winner pick, Lauren, is her right-hand man. So that's great for her. As we saw, Lauren found the idol. So that could only benefit her moving forward. And I think that, you know, she's working on it. She's putting stuff together. Obviously, the Wendy thing threw her off enough that she's like zeroed in on Wendy. But there looks like there's going to be enough turmoil here, enough big personalities within her tribe itself, that eventually at some point they'll stop looking at her, because other people will come up as threats. The only reason she's being looked at right now is because no one else really has a quote unquote Indeed resume to, you know, point out and be like, this person is dangerous. She does, and David does.
Jordan, you worried for Kelly Wentworth? You think she's out soon?
I think if that tribe goes to tribal again, she could be in a lot of trouble, because, you know, originally I would have said that Wendy was in a much worse spot than she was. But after this episode, you kind of have, David and Rick, the dicks, are, they want Wendy around. They think that they could use her as a vote. However, I think that Wendy's maybe shown to be a little bit of a volatile personality to work with. When she was told Reem's going home, she wasn't willing to go along with the plan. So I think the longer they're with her, maybe they might start to see that she could be tough to work with, and maybe they'd favor Wentworth over her. But I kind of like what the War Dog is thinking here. I think the War Dog has the right idea of wanting to keep the bigger target around.
Puya, Aubrey is another person that was shown to be one of these returning players that is on the hot seat. Do you feel any differently about Aubrey?
I'm a little bit more worried about Aubrey, if I'm being honest, just because it does seem like within that tribe, I mean, obviously we still haven't seen all that much from them, given that they're the new love tribe, and they're just, you know, going through these challenges like they're nothing. But what it looks like, Aubrey's being caught with her conversations and her concerns, and people are talking, and it's starting to be more visible that, hey, Aubrey is trying to not be the first boot. So let's make sure we're all on the same page here, which is worrisome, especially given the preview we saw. I'm also worried doubly about that, because she's there with Mustache Joe, and Mustache Joe is an asset. I mean, this guy hasn't lost a group immunity since Worlds Apart. So that, on its own, it's like, well, we want to keep him for now. You know, we'll keep him for now. We'll worry about him later. But Aubrey is starting to look a little expendable to them. So I'm hoping she can turn it around. I think she's socially more equipped to be able to. We'll just have to see if it works with these newbies.
Puya, I think we're in some sort of like a Brave New World where it seems like that the new players might have the jump on the returning players. And it looks like there's four of the returning players, and who knows how it's going to work out. But if we did have a scenario where this is a season where, you know, a new player wins, the new players don't really give an inch to the returning players, would that be the kind of situation that would make you want to see more returning players thrown into these seasons with new players?
I don't think so, because for me, it's like the appeal of the returnees is to kind of see them get another shot, right? See them, you know, evolve, or see them move forward and improve on what they have done. Because I think you're right. Outside of Russell Haunts, no one has come in as a returnee and gotten the boot like instantly.
But wait, I didn't know you were Dutch.
I'm Norwegian, but thanks for asking. But yeah, so it's like, do I think that this could open the door for more returnees to come back in a situation like this? Yes, because then it kind of actually does balance it out that, like, hey, just because they're coming back doesn't mean they're all going to make it to the end and have an easy go, because these newbies are quote unquote woke.
Yeah. So it might be fun to, like, you know, throw another, you know, returning player or two in the mix if it's like they're not going to have this, you know, a great advantage. But I think it, you know, ends up, you know, the pendulum ends up going the other way. Then they'll forget about one of the returning players, and then that'll send the whole thing back to square one. So I guess there's a give and a take with it.
I think, you know, Coach advocated for the winners versus first boots. I think if you're going to have winners on a season, you should either do all winners or, like, winners and legends who are close to winning. I think the time to get the first boots in is when you have a new player's cast, because they're almost like new players. Like, they have a little bit of an advantage where they've played Survivor for 3 days. They've been to a tribal. They know what it's like to get voted out. But I think that they wouldn't come in with that same threat level, because the other players could be like, look, yeah, they had a chance, but they got voted out the first time they went to tribal. So I think they're almost on a similar footing, and then you can maybe see that first time player turn their luck around and be able to get in with some of the newbies. So I think that could be interesting.
Puya, are you on board for fans versus first boots?
Yeah, I would be very down for that. I think that would be good. Shout out to Matt Ligori's favorite Alexis, who talked about maybe a pre-mergers people. So maybe a fans versus pre-mergers would be good too.
Okay. We'll see. Look, Survivor stays on the air long enough. You got to do all of these ideas. It's like Schrodinger's season theme think tank. Mm-hmm. You got to do every single one of them.
Yeah, we'll get through all of them.
Okay. All right. Puya, anything else you want to talk about from this week's episode? Keith, is he going to Extinction Island? God.
Yeah, what a situation we have there with the cliffhanger. Surely, like, I tweeted this premiere night, but surely there can't be a person that's like, oh, you know what? I've had enough. I'm just going to go to the right side. Like, I really don't think there's a situation here where Keith doesn't take the chance to go. I don't know if his worry is Reem, or if he knows Reem's even going to be there. If he just thinks, well, my goose is cooked, might as well go to Ponderosa. I don't know. But I got to imagine, like, 95%, we're going to start the next episode with him just going to Extinction Island.
You got to think so.
Yeah.
It would be, a huge upset if it didn't happen. And I kind of feel like that they would give us that moment, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would think so. I feel like you can't, like, what is the point if you're going to start the episode with, all right, Keith left? Like, like, that's no good. And also, like, you know, as a player, just go out there, peek your head in, see what's going on, and then leave if you really want to leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to talk about some Survivor social media?
Yes, always.
Okay, well, we got a huge week of Survivor social media to talk about, so let me throw it to a intro from our friend Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. They're better than a tribe that has choreography. Tweets.
Yes. Jacob Sager Weinstein or Bob Seger? That was beautiful.
Bob Seger? Yeah. How do you even know who that is?
I'm a Bruce Springsteen fan. That was one of his inspirations.
Okay. All right. D. Schoolish loves The Boss.
Yes.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Big
Who
Boss knew? Fan.
Okay. Why don't we start off with Jeff Probst? Because we talked about this last week, where Jeff Probst wanted to know from the listeners of Survivor, how many people want there to be two-hour episodes? So he likes to throw a question out there for everybody. He wants to know, who should be watching the two-hour episodes. This week, Jeff Probst also had another stir of that he wanted to know from the listeners or from the Survivor viewers, who should come back for another season. What Survivor players do the listeners or the viewers want to have come back? So this was in response to a tweet from a viewer, Justin Baker, who said to Jeff Probst, "I love Survivor. When will Rupert be back?" That's a question a lot of us have been asking. And Jeff Probst replied, "If you're bored, Who would you like to see play again? I'm always curious, who are the current quote-unquote most popular, and who are the OSGs that you would like to see play again?
Now, OSG?
Puya. Yes. Akiva and I talked to Phil T this past weekend, so yes, we could learn a bunch of terms that millennials are using, and so we learned about things like yeet and a skedit and smoke, but Phil T did not tell us about OSGs.
Yeah, you were not prepped for this one. OSGs. So what could this mean? One-sided gamers. No. Outside.
Wait, I think I know. I think I may have figured it out.
Yes. What is OSG?
I think it's Original Survivor Gangsters, because it's like OG with S in the middle. So I think it's Original Survivor Gangsters.
Well, I thought originally that maybe it was like an autocorrect where he meant to say OGs and then it changes to OSG, but it's OSG apostrophe S.
Yeah. What could that be?
Hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay, so according to Urban Dictionary, I'm going to look this up real quick.
Oh, no.
Nope, we're not gonna use this. So we're going to move on.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. I'm not going to look this up because I don't want to have another Bate Blake moment where I'm reading this and okay, I can't compose myself.
All right. We're going to play the This Week in Survivor History quiz in a little bit. But Puya, are you up for a short game called Did This Survivor Retweet This or Not?
Absolutely. I would love to play this game.
Okay. All right. So I'll just throw you out of Survivor and you tell me yes or no. You can play against D Schoolish here and we'll see if you have it or not. Okay. All right. First one up. We're going to go with John Carroll. John Carroll. Booyah.
Okay. Did they retweet this?
Yes.
They definitely did retweet this.
No retweet from John Carroll.
That was a good trick answer, Rob.
Yeah, thank you.
You spent enough time with me that you know how to really throw people for a loop on these quizzes.
Okay. Jordan.
Yes.
Johnny Fairplay.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. That's a gimme.
Please, oh, no. They may have responded. These are only retweets.
Oh my God.
Only retweets.
Do quote tweets count or no?
I don't think so. I'm not sure if they count.
Can I ask Alexa? Can I do that during this?
Okay. Puya. Leslie Nice. Survivor China.
Okay. There's been two no's. Mathematically, yes. Yes, she has. Please.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
There we go. On the board.
Jordan, Russell Hantz.
I'm gonna say, you know, I think Russell Hantz is a big time retweeter. I've seen him retweet a lot of things on my feed, not this one specifically, but I'll say yes.
Russell Hantz, no retweet.
Oh no. Yeah,
he's a big time quote retweeter. So that's where
no, that's you true. Got caught. That is true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Puya. Jerry Manthe.
No. Jerry Manthe has other things to do.
Nope. She's retweeting.
Okay, I'm back in the game. If I get this right, we're tied.
Okay. All right. One more. Spencer Bledsoe.
Spencer Bledsoe. Well, he was very active on Twitter this week. Did he retweet that? I'm going to say there's only been one yes so far. It was just Leslie Nice. I'm still going to say no. I'm going to say he didn't retweet this.
Sorry.
He
did.
No.
Well, one of the many retweets for Spencer Bledsoe this week. Yes. Also retweeting in the 54 times, Kobe Archer. I believe there was Philip Shepard also was a retweet of...
He blocked me on Twitter, so I wouldn't know that one.
You wouldn't know that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've literally never said anything bad about Philip Shepard on Twitter. I don't know why he blocked me. I think he blocked me during like Survivor Cambodia for no reason.
Yeah, maybe no Philip Shepard. I think that I spoke too soon on that one. Okay. All right. So Jeff Probst wanted to know... I'm sorry. That Philip Shepard was one of the quote tweet people. There's a lot of quote tweet survivors as well.
Should we play who quote tweeted that tweet?
Let's move on. Let's not spend too much time on this.
Okay.
The long story short, survivors, want to play Survivor again. Long story short.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Puya won the game.
Okay. So nice. we mentioned the young lad, Spencer Bledsoe, and nobody was more active on social media than Spencer was this week. Really, somebody woke up the dragon about a week ago where Spencer has just been on a tear across Twitter, Instagram, has done, I think, 3 different Reddit AMAs all over the Reddit comments. He is scheduled to be a guest with us here on Thursday. Puya, I can't think of another guest who has ever come into Rob as a podcast with as much momentum.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got the drip right now. And he's got
so much drip.
Mm-hmm. So much drip. He's dripping. Coming out swinging. And it's great. It's really great to see. Really happy about it.
Yes. Okay. So, Puya, do you have a most favorite Spencer Bledsoe social media moment this week?
I do have one, and I think you probably share this. Maybe you share the same one. There was many. It's got to be the exchange with Mr. Haunts.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, okay. Let's take a look at that. The exchange with Russell Haunts. I think there might have been more than one. Basically, almost every single Survivor figure on social media, I think, had an interaction with Spencer this week. Which one are you referring to specifically, Puya?
Specifically when he clapped back at Russell with, are you with me or against me?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this was, I think, unprovoked, just out of nowhere. I think that Spencer just came out and said to Russell, are you with me or against me? Russell was responding to a tweet from Cody Thrive. Is that Cody from Stranded with $1 Million?
I think so. I think that's the guy he's been podcasting with.
Okay.
That's
his, and that's so his Cody said, if you take out Kelly, you go to the 3 out of the next 5 tribals. Makes total sense, right? Just target your best female athlete, second tribal. Then you're working without numbers going into any merge situation. So I think Cody being sarcastic there, thinks it's a mistake to take out Kelly. Russell says, most people don't even really think out there. Bad moves are made on a regular, and they always think they know their best until they're at Ponderosa. And Spencer comes in off the top rope. He says, unless they make it to the end and can plead their case to win, then they think they know best until. And then he had a picture of Natalie White winning with hands over her mouth. Ron Clark comes in with the emoji laughing and a thumbs up. And then that's when Russell ended up clapping back on Spencer and said, you're a loser just like I am, so you wouldn't know. And Spencer said to Russell, are you with me or against me? And then Russell said, I'm against you. So, yeah, the young lad is hot right now. Jordan, do you have a favorite Spencer social media moment from this week?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people were talking about his back and forth with Richard Hatch, but he actually tweeted about 19 hours ago, and people think Spencer and I sound alike. Apparently, we think alike as well. He said, what's the biggest number? Are there any numbers smaller than 0? He's also very confused about math. And here's a game. Which RHAP podcaster responded, it depends what font size you use.
I don't know. I'm going to go with Lita.
Lita, Puya, do you have a guess?
I'm going to go with the tabulator on this one.
That's a good guess. It was actually David Bloomberg.
Foiled.
David Bloomberg, yeah. Yes. So you tied. You both tie with 0. So there's no points higher than 0 in that mini game.
Yeah.
What was the seal? What was he going back and forth with Richard Hatch? There was, so I saw that
this was
my
not
newsfeed.
A feud with Richard Hatch.
No, it wasn't a feud.
This was going back and forth that, you know, Spencer, and I don't know if we'll get into this on the podcast this week, but has really, it seems to be really diving into the very nature of existence. And, you know, Richard Hatch loves a good philosophical debate, and they got into, they were talking about authenticity and truth and, you know, all the kinds of stuff that, you know, Twitter was made to really get into a very deep philosophical discussion for and figure out, the, you know, the meaning of life in 280 characters. And they were going back and forth and Richard Hatch was talking about how Jeff Probst says perception is reality and he disagrees. But he thinks that the disagreement is about whether we're conflating truth and perception does a disservice. Is anybody still awake? Is anybody still awake right now? and Jeff Probst came in and said, whoa, who woke up Richard Hatch? And I believe that Spencer said, your son did. Talking about himself. Referring to himself as Jeff Probst's son.
Is he Jeff Probst's son?
I think that he's called, that's what he's nicknaming himself.
Wow.
The young son.
Yes, but then he also said, or maybe it was a flirty girl who was good at manipulating men, because Spencer, right before this, like the thing that really started this earthquake was, I think that Spencer had, like, on Valentine's Day, like a retweet of Jeff Probst from like 2016, where Jeff Probst said something, I'm a flirty girl who's good at manipulating men. And it was like, he found like a really old Jeff Probst tweet. And that was like, we should have known, like, a Vesuvius is awake.
Now is he saying he's Jeff Probst's son, as in like he's actually insinuating that he might be a son, or is it more like a Bryce thing where he's like, son?
I don't think that this is a Maury Povich paternity situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's more of a Bryce situation. I guess they did play on a season together, and the whole family thing is rubbing off on maybe more Akagian people will start tweeting like how they're related to Jeff Probst.
Maybe. Well, Richard Hatch said, I promise no girl, flirty or otherwise, would have woken me up. So that is
Cliff Robinson's already Uncle Spliffy.
Okay. All right. Spencer, you know, you could look it up. We could do 5 hours right now on Spencer's tweets and Instagram from this week, and hopefully
a Mike Bloom podcast for the off season.
Yeah, I can't remember, not since Tony, which was something that I said to Spencer over text. I said, you are the new Tony. Has any survivor been on a social media firestorm like this?
No, we haven't seen this in a long time. Like, we're getting to the point where he can easily have a top 18 that you and Mike Bloom can podcast about in the off season on a brand steal. Like, this has been really good.
all of Spencer's greatest social media posts. Wow. I mean, the previous high bar, I think, was the time that he made a bet with Jeremy Collins about the Patriots losing the Super Bowl, and then he had to pay a bunch of people $10.
Yeah, that was like the last. I think that's what like got him not to be on anymore, and now he's moved on from that. He's back.
But people are loving it. People are eating it up. So hopefully, I just hope he doesn't burn himself out before Thursday.
I would hope not. Maybe this is the warm up. This is like the bag of chips before Thanksgiving.
Okay, he's getting ready. Getting ready for because I was very blindsided this week when we were having a text conversation about booking the podcast, and then he had said to me over text, "Hey, should I tweet this?" And I said, "You're the new Tony. Like, you're crazy." Then I was very surprised when then there were a lot of replies to the screenshot of our text message conversation. Not a lot of people have done that. That's I have to like that. It's never happened to me before, Puya, where I'm texting with somebody and then the texts are tweets.
Yeah, no, this was a very fun candid moment, a backstage moment for everyone to see how the podcast gets made.
Yeah. So who knows? Who knows what will happen between now and Thursday? All right. Let's talk about some of the other tweets from this week. Aubrey Bracco tweeted, so about last night. Do you, like, want to start a dialogue? I, like, see myself in you. Hashtag why I am single. Hashtag want a date. So happy that Aubrey can have some fun with it. Did you feel like that Aubrey got a raw deal, Puya?
Well, I feel like they went out of their way to show the things, which is unfortunate, because surely amongst all of those open dialogues, there were some people that thought, you know, that took it well. Not necessarily everybody was probably sour on the idea, but they put it all together. And obviously there is no person with thicker skin than Aubrey to be able to, you know, see all that happen and then come on the next day and make a joke about it. And we can all laugh together. So
she's had it all. She's had it all.
Yeah. She's been through it.
And I think this is another example. I don't think Aubrey did anything wrong here. I mean, I think that's sort of what you want to do in Survivor. You want to talk to everybody. But here's where you benefit from having new players who actually know how to play the game, where they're comparing notes, which is something that they rarely do in, like, in either fans versus favorite seasons or seasons like South Pacific or Redemption Island. This almost never happens, which is why I'm such a big fan of these new players. Like, I think it, I'm hoping it doesn't. I mean, Aubrey is my favorite returner on this season. She's actually the first Survivor who ever appeared on Twitch. And I'm rooting for her, but I mean, I think that this is something that if that tribe goes to tribal, could really come back to bite her. But hopefully she's able to recover. I really just think it was good play all around from everyone on the Kama tribe.
Okay. Victoria Bay Monday. She's V Bay Monday on Twitter. Before we see episode two, here's a bit you didn't see in episode one. When Jeff asked Manu their names and the bald one says War Dog, I turned to Gavin speaking to him for the first time. And did he just say his name is Warthog? Did it spark a friendship or does Gavin think I'm a moron? Stay tuned. So we'll see. I feel like that there's a lot of people that are confused. Is it War Dog or Warthog?
Or the War Dog.
Yeah, the Warthog.
Yeah. It does seem like it's becoming a thing, Puya, for the other survivors to really, slam War Dog on these podcasts. I thought Coach was kind of hard on the War Dog the other day.
It was, and I think the thing for me is that I think going into the season, War Dog was the easiest part. It's like, this guy's called War. What a guy. Who does he think he is? But then you look at what he's been doing, and I've been pretty happy with what I'm seeing. I'm into the War Dog. And also, I put out a tweet. To me, War Dog kind of looks and sounds like Brendan Viegas, and I'm happy to see that.
He's a voice double for Brendan.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it works. Yeah.
All right. Hold on, let me see. So I have a clip of War Dog, and let's see if we can see what he sounds like. Okay, here is the War Dog.
Eric, my man, what is good?
Okay. Uncanny.
Yeah. Uncanny. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Okay. Then Davey Rickenbacker, Mr. Sia Money himself. Puya, were you surprised when you found out that Davey got that Sia Money?
I would not have thought. I thought maybe the Sia money was behind us, but oh, those checks keep coming in and someone's the recipient. And honestly, I'm kind of happy it's Davey. Get Davey something. He can take Hazel out for dinner. It'll be a good time.
Where is Davey?
He's out. He's out taking buying some more Walking Dead props, I think. Okay.
Yeah.
Davey had a good tweet. He said, why is Keith acting like this blue or red pill decision on the Matrix? Yeah. Which are you going to take? Where's Morpheus?
Where is Davey?
Chrissy Hoffbeck was not pleased with this. She said, are you kidding me? I'm changing my answer below. I'd like to banish to the edge of extinction players who aren't interested in playing. Oh, wait, that would solve this problem. So Chrissy, one of the people not happy that Keith is even having to think about this, Puya.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it goes back to like, why wouldn't you just go to the left immediately? And we don't know if they managed to stretch this out for a long time and just make it a cliffhanger. It's kind of like when, and I know you're not going to like this reference, Rob, but when they start yelling, take it off on the Masked Singer, and it takes 35 seconds for them to take the damn mask off. It's just they're stretching it out. I think that's what's going on here.
Yeah, maybe could they do some sort of like, Glenn in the dumpster type thing where it looks like he walks off and then ends up and he really did go to Extinction Island?
They could. It would have been better. Well, better than what this was. I just hope that we get to next episode with he took the left turn. He took the blue pill.
Okay. All right, Troyzan said, is Jesus hiding in the bushes? Keith, get a grip on it, brother.
Troyzan might be my favorite Twitter account of all the survivors.
The survivor alumni, they don't like hearing anything about people thinking about quitting, thinking about not playing. Like we established, the survivor alumni are thirsty. They want to go back. That don't take anything for granted. Don't complain about not having any food because they didn't have any food. And then if you really want to piss off the survivors, don't go to your second chance.
Do you think Keith was paying homage to Joanna Ward, being that he got voted out exactly 16 years after Joanna Ward got voted out on Survivor and talked a lot about Jesus?
So you think that he got voted out intentionally?
Yes, he knew when the episode would air. He pretended he couldn't swim, and he was like, "I'm going to do Joanna Ward a favor and pay a little bit of pay a little homage to her."
I'll let Reem answer this question.
What?
What do you think about the segment of Reem just walking around Extinction Island, Puya? Incredulous.
Yeah, no, it was really fun. This was
what?
I gotta raise this flag.
Are you kidding me, dude? There's no time limit on this. What?
Are you?
Yeah, no, she's not having fun there. My favorite Reem moment, though, was right after we get out of the cliffhanger, and instead of the final words, it's like, "Oh yeah, I'm still here, and I'm still miserable, and I still hate this."
Poor Reem. Poor Reem. Okay. Dale Wentworth, FarmGuy69, tweeted that he, "Today, I was on the street. A fan said, I'm a huge Survivor fan, hooked on watching Kelly Wentworth play. And Dale responded, thanks, she's playing a strong game so far. And then the fan said, so do they let her come home on weekends between shows?"
That's Survivor budget.
I saw that on Twitter. I mean, even if like someone was under the impression that they were like filming this now and you only saw stuff like during the week, do they really think that they're going to send 20 people or I guess 18 people in this case back and forth on flights to the United States?
Look, hey, 7 days in between the episodes, Jordan.
A little ridiculous.
They got to wait out for that episode where it's like, so Devin's won't be joining us because his connecting flight got missed. So he'll be back.
That's what used
week.
To happen on The Celebrity Apprentice. Like people would have like real jobs and they would have to miss episodes. And then I never got why they didn't get fired. In that case, if you're not showing up, why should someone else get fired?
Well, I think that it's a valid point. You know that the Celebrity Apprentice, as we've learned, adheres to a very strict rule set that they would
and then
never.
And they let LaToya Jackson back. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, let's not get too off the beaten path here, Deese. Hang in there. All right, let's not go into LaToya Jackson today. On why she doesn't get fired.
She was on The Masked Singer, right?
Was she
Puya? She was. Yeah, yeah.
What was she?
Was she the poodle? I think she was the poodle.
And she didn't have any weeks she had to miss?
No, she attended all of them and then got, ceremoniously.
What's up with that, Jordan?
In the boot.
I don't know. I think she's playing favorites. Apparently, she likes The Masked Singer better than Celebrity Apprentice.
Okay. Then Bryce Isaiah, the saga of Bryce Isaiah in the office continues to go on. Bryce tweeted, hashtag coffee club update. Got to the office this morning. Wanted to share the new trend in the office. Bye, James. I'm still going to use it anyway. And then he tweeted a picture of somebody put like tape over the top of their creamer. Woo Jesus. Hashtag come on God. Hashtag RJP coffee club.
He's still got it. He's still got it. The coffee creamer bandit is at large.
Okay. And then finally, T-Bird tweeted,
Hashtag Survivor Edge of Extinction. What a cliffhanger finish. Watching at ChurchBoy16 agonize over which path to take. Riveting stuff. Too soon to end your adventure. Keith, grab the torch.
T-Bird hates quitters, too. So she Keith better take that torch, Jordan.
I think instead of the sign, they should have T-Bird just standing there.
What
like,
are
kind
you
of, like,
doing?
Encouraging
go
them.
Ahead. Go to Extinction Island.
Get T-Bird literally every week at the end of the episode, just like giving words of encouragement to each survivor. You can do it. You can make it.
Take that torch. You get out of here. I don't want to ever see you back
tomorrow.
Here again.
Yeah. So, all right. That's the week in social media. And honestly, I feel like that we are barely scratching the surface of Survivor social media is pretty lit right now, Puya.
Yeah, definitely. There was one rub which I wanted to bring in, if that's cool.
Go for it, please.
So, I put out a tweet Wednesday night. It wasn't what my content was isn't important. Someone replied to it, and then this is what they tweeted. This at Wardog guy, he's Matt Lauer from 20 years ago. Why are my circuits shorting out? Is this a tear in the time-space continuum? I'm confused. Hashtag talk to my future self. Again, the only takeaway from this one is that at Wardog, okay? So at Wardog is not the Wardog from this season. At Wardog is some 23-year-old e-gamer who has the handle at Wardog. And this guy slips into my mentions and he says, WTF are you talking about? Who are you people and why are you tagging me?
Yeah, why are you calling me Matt Lauer?
Yeah, from 20 years ago. So then I said, you're getting a dose of that Survivor crowd, man. And then he said, I guess so. Y'all another breed.
Please, Harry, leave at Wardog alone. That's why he's the war. He refers to himself as the Wardog. Please respect the. Looking up Wardog on Twitter. Yes, Wardog, Wardog, Wardog TV, Wardog YouTube Gaming.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah. You want to hear Wardog's best Halo games ranked?
Yes. Go for it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. Top 10. At Wardog, best Halo games ranked. Number 10, You Can't Rate. Number 9, The Halo Games. Number 8, Because. Number 7, All Halo Games. Number 6, Play Number 5, Part In. Number 4, Making Number 3, Great Universe. Number 2, That I Love. Number 1, Halo 2.
I think these rankings are arbitrary and reductive. Why are we ranking these Halo games? When did that trend stop of like making lists, but the lists are really just words that form a sentence, and then the top one is your actual top one?
I feel like
that stopped
started.
Pretty recently. Wardog is the trendsetter.
Okay. All right, that could be a game for the B&B. I'll text Mike Bloom. Is it Wardog or the Wardog?
Yeah.
Is that his actual Twitter? Dan the Wardog?
Let me see.
I don't know. I bet he's not like a Lirsa where he got that. He probably has a different.
He is at I am the Wardog.
At I am the Wardog. Okay. So, yeah, getting into the game a little late, I think, for the Wardog. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to get ready to play the This Week in Survivor History quiz in just a moment. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends who make the Calming Comfort weighted blanket. We saw Reem on Extinction Island this week, and she just looked so cold and miserable. She had like a little sheet that was like part of like the sail of a ship, which is not ideal. She's not going to be sleeping well. She is going to be having a lot of anxiety. She's going to be feeling very tired the next day. She's not going to be getting the restful sleep that you get with the Calming Comfort weighted blanket, a favorite of the first lady of podcasting, because the Calming Comfort weighted blanket is designed with high density comfort fill to provide exactly the right amount of weight to help you relax your body. It mimics the soothing feeling of being hugged for less stress and a restful night's sleep. It's like when you have a newborn baby and they wrap it up tight in the blanket to help it calm down. That's what this is going to do for you. Made with super soft velveteen material and designed to promote a sense of calmness and relaxation for a more restful sleep. You'll wake up feeling refreshed. Take your relaxation to the next level and sleep better, feel great, and stress less. I guess you could go back and read that exchange between Spencer and Richard Hatch if you also have more trouble falling asleep. But once you get the Calm and Comfort weighted blanket, it is going to put you right out. You want to pick a size or a weight that is going to be 7 to 12% of your body weight. 15, 20, or 25-pound blankets are available, including kids' sizes as well. The Calm and Comfort weighted blanket comes with a 90-day anxiety-free, stress-free, best night's sleep of your life guarantee from Sharper Image right now. Just for our listeners, you can go to calmingcomfortblanket.com, calmingcomfortblanket.com. Use promo code ROB at checkout to receive $15 off the displayed price. Again, that's calmingcomfortblanket.com, promo code ROB. And because you can't put a price on a great night's sleep, go online now at calmingcomfortblanket.com. Use promo code ROB for your special discount today. All right. So let's go ahead and get into our game and play a little bit of
Twish.
Okay. This week in Survivor History. Pooja, are you ready?
I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I feel like I will be at the very least a good opponent for you in the sense that you will get a handle win. But we'll see. I'm not going to not try. So we'll see.
All right. Pooja, do you have a voice-enabled assistant at the ready?
I do. My friend Google is right here ready to go.
Yes, you're Google Greg Buis.
Yeah.
last week we had this the Siri Fields. I hope somebody comes on with the Alexis Maxwell.
Okay. Okay. Jordan, you want to set this up at all?
Yes, we have four multiple choice questions. Each of you will get to answer two of them. If you would like, I do not have to read the multiple choice options. If you are correct and don't hear the multiple choice options, you get 2 points for a correct answer. If you're wrong, your opponent gets to steal. If you want to hear the multiple choice, you get 1 point. If you're right, your opponent cannot steal in that case. And then we'll go to the death match. And if there's a tie after that, we have a couple tiebreakers planned. Those are the rules. And Pooja, as Rob said, you get to use your Google device for one question.
Okay. Right.
If you so choose. Won't help.
If you so choose. Okay. Yeah. All right. What are the categories this week, Jordan?
Okay. The categories, we have the Boston Massacre, nominal aphasia, escape goats, and what can Braun do for you?
All right.
Escape goats spelled G.O.A.T.S.
Thanks for the clarification there.
Just, yeah, it could be, there's two ways. There's two ways to spell goats these days.
Yeah.
We're in strange times. So Pooja, you get to make the first selection.
All right, so I'm gonna go with what can Braun do for you?
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Ko Rong. The episode is called The Circle of Life from March 2nd, 2016, 3 years ago Saturday. Who found the clue to the Braun tribe idol?
Okay, I think I know. So I'm going to run with this. I'm going to go with Alicia Holden.
Alicia Holden, you did not ask Google. You did not ask for the multiple choice, and you are correct. So you get 2 points there. Yes, Alicia Holden was the one who found the clue. Mistakenly tells Sydney Gillum about it, who she thinks that she's working with, but really Sydney is working more with Kyle Jason and Scott Pollard. But yeah, Alicia found the clue, and she is the only one who does not get to benefit from this idol. Kyle Jason, Scott Pollard obviously get it. They sort of have a little bit of a wrestling match where Alicia Holden does not get it when it falls out of the tree. So yeah, Alicia found the clue, but unfortunately did not get the idol. So Pooja, you have a 2-0 lead. Very nice start. Rob, choose your category.
Could I hear the categories one more time?
Yes. The Boston Massacre, nominal aphasia, or escape goats.
Okay, I will go with Boston Massacre.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor Marquesas. The episode's Nacho Mama from March 7th, 2002, 17 years ago this Thursday. In his personal Bill Buckner moment, Boston Rob lost the tiebreaker round at the Survivor Marquesas Gross Food Eating Immunity Challenge. He let victory slip from his hands, much like Tom Brady let the football slip from his hands during the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 52. Which Row 2 member defeated the Rob that sucks at eating Fafaru?
I think I know it, but I will Let me hear the choices.
Okay, so for 1 point, is it A, Zoe Zanadakis, B, John Carroll, C, Kathy Vavrick O'Brien, or D, Nalia Dennis?
I believe it's Nalia.
Nalia is correct. You get 1 point there, and Puya has a 2-1 lead. Yeah, Nalia was able to get that disgusting-looking Fafaru down faster than Boston Rob. So, Puya, with your lead, you get to choose the next category.
All right, let's go with the escape G.O.A.T.
Okay, escape goats. We're going to Survivor Micronesia from the episode He's a Ball of Goo from March 6, 2008, 11 years ago this Wednesday. Joel famously dragged Chet around while tied together during the reward challenge in this episode. One of the players they were chasing was Parvati, who was tethered to Parvati, successfully escaping Truck and the Ball of Goo.
Can I get the multiple choice?
You can get the multiple choice, and also this is the last question where you can use your Google Greg Buis. The multiple choice, we have A, Eliza Orlins, B, Alexis Jones, C, Jason Siska, D, Natalie Bolton.
Okay. All right, I'm going to try it.
Let's see what Google
says. Okay, Google. Who was Parvati tethered to in Survivor Micronesia?
Take a look at these results, starting with one from Wikipedia.
Oh, well, you're no good. Okay.
Take a look.
Can I hear the options one more time?
Yes. Was it A, Eliza Orlins, B, Alexis Jones, C, Jason Siska, D, Natalie Bolton?
All right. I'm going to take a shot in the dark here because I really do not remember. I'm going to go with B.
B, Alexis Jones. A lot of Alexis Maxwell talk so far in the first 2 weeks of This Week in Survivor History, but unfortunately, it was not her name, buddy. It was Eliza Orlins. A, was one of the escape goats along with Parvati Challa. So you don't get a point there, but you still have a 2-1 lead. And we're 0-2 on this new quote-unquote advantage. Rob, we're going to go to Nominal Aphasia. This is from the same episode of Micronesia. At the Micronesia tribe swap, who called Joel Troy while drafting him onto the Molokal tribe?
I'm gonna listen to the choices.
Okay, was it A, Amanda, B, Ozzy, C, Suri, D, Amy Cusack?
I don't remember how this worked at all, but I will say it was Amanda.
So Amanda. So we had the way that this tribe swapped worked, we had two contestants who were randomly chosen as captains. Ozzy had the first pick, and he picked Troy, maybe foreshadowing that he would eventually play with a Troyzan. So you were unfortunately incorrect. You do not get a point there. Puya has a 2-1 lead going into the final round. So, good job with those questions. We are going to the death match. Here are the rules. Much like this week's episode of Edge of Extinction, there were many instances this week in Survivor history in which three contestants received votes at Tribal Council. I will give you the season and who was voted out at Tribal Council. Then I will give you three options. You must tell me out of those three options who did not receive votes at the specific tribal. Four answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round. If there's a tiebreaker after four answers, if there's a tie after four answers, we'll go to a tiebreaker. So, Rob, since you were going first, you get to pick a number here between 1 and 6.
I will go with number 5.
Okay, number 5. This is from Survivor Redemption Island. This is where Russell Hance was voted out. The three choices are Krista Klump, Ralph Kaiser, and Stephanie Valencia, who did not receive votes at the Tribal Council in which Russell was voted out.
Okay.
And if you get this wrong, you actually lose the game.
Okay. All right. So, can you just please reset again? I feel like it's a little confusing. What am I looking for? I am looking for the person who did not get
votes. So Russell Hance obviously got votes. He was voted out. Two out of these three people did receive votes at this tribal. The three options are Krista Klump, Ralph Kaiser, Stephanie Valencia. Two of them did. One of them didn't. You're trying to get the one who did not receive votes.
Okay, so I'm trying to pick the person that they did not split the votes against. So I think that they thought maybe Stephanie Valencia might have been tied in more to Russell. So I will say that the great Krista Klump did not get votes at this tribal council.
Yeah, so Russell, Krista, and Stephanie put their three votes on Ralph Kaiser, and then obviously the majority group was going to try to get one of Russell's allies, and you picked correctly. Krista Klump did not receive votes there. So you get a point. We are tied 2-2. And Puya, you get the next one now. We're going to go to Survivor Worlds Apart. This is the Vince Sly boot from Worlds Apart. We have Jen Brown, Nina Porsche, and Will Sims.
Jen Brown, Nina Porsche, Will Sims. Okay. Okay. Jen Brown, Nina, Will Sims. Okay.
Those are the people.
Okay, yeah. Those
three Survivor legends.
guaranteed for Survivor first boot. Okay. I'm going to go with everyone's favorite. See, you couldn't think which one because they're not anyone's favorites. So I'm going
to
go with
to be fair, Nina is very nice.
Nina's nice. Nina's a neat lady as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Will Sims.
Will Sims. So this is actually the first tribal council that that Joe Anglim ever went to. The plan originally that Joe, Jen, and Haley came up with was to split the votes. They thought that Will was going to do whatever they asked them to do, but Will was also sort of flirting with an alliance with Vince and Nina. So Will does go against the plan, but he actually puts the vote on Vince, where they thought he was going to put the vote on Nina, and Nina was supposed to go ahead in the tiebreaker. But you are correct. Will did not receive votes there. So Puya, you have a 3-2 lead, and Rob, you must get this one right if you want to stay in it. We are going to go to Survivor Kagyan. Unfortunately, very sad. The Purple Pants Badass voted out. Bryce voted out. The three options are Alexis Maxwell, Jeffra Bland, and Morgan McLeod.
Okay. One more time. It's the three women, Alexis, Jeffra,
and Morgan, okay, who did not receive votes at the Bryce boot.
Okay. I know Alexis got votes. Did Jeffra get a vote? I'll say was it Jeffra or Morgan? What did Bryce and Morgan want to do? I'll say that the person who did not get a vote was Jeffra.
Jeffra is correct. The majority were trying to split the votes on Bryce and Morgan. It was actually another 2-2-2 vote, just like the Worlds Apart one was supposed to be. But yeah, Jeffra did not get votes there, and you are correct. So you get a point. We are tied 3-3. So Puya, here's the two things that could happen here. You could either get this one right and you win the game, or you get it wrong and we will go to a tiebreaker. So we're going to go to Survivor Ghost Island. This is the Morgan Ricky boot. It's either Angela Perkins, James Lim, or Libby Vincheck.
It's for the game.
Oh, okay. Who was the boot?
The boot was Morgan Ricky. The choices are Angela, James, or Libby.
Angela, James, and Libby. Okay. We got this. All right, for the win, maybe. I'm gonna go with Libby.
Okay, so obviously the people from the original Malolo
I would go with Libby too.
Russell, get out of here. You already got voted out during this question. So
I'm against you, Jordan.
This was a good episode for James Lim and the Malolos. A rare good Malolo episode where they were able to get one over on Dom and Wendell, and they actually convinced Angela Perkins to put a vote on Livy, which means you are incorrect. James Lim. Ooh. Did not receive a vote here. So you do not get a point here, Puya, and we are going to go to a tiebreaker. It will be Rob's turn. We're going to go to Survivor Heroes versus Villains. This is the Suri boot. Was it Candace, Colby, or Tom?
Who did not get a vote? Let's see. I feel like people were probably coming for Candace. They were going to maybe split the vote between Colby and Tom, and then JT switched his vote. So, this is a mess. I will say that it was Candace.
Candace is correct. So Tom actually did get votes that were negated by the idol that he played.
Without the JT,
he got votes. They were negated votes, but they were still votes. So Colby was actually the original plan that JT was supposed to go with. It was a vote split between Colby and Tom, just in case Tom did play the idol, which he did. Colby got votes, and JT switched his vote to Cerise, sending her home. But Candace did not receive votes there. So, Rob, you are correct. You have a 4-3 lead. Puya, you need to get this one right in order to go to the final tiebreaker. If you are wrong, Rob wins the game in a comeback. So we're going to go to Survivor Co. Wrong. This is the Liz Markham boot. The choices are Aubrey, Neil Gottlieb, or Peter Bagginsos.
Okay. So Liz Markham goes, Stephen Fishback's sad. Then we're trying to figure out who else got votes. Okay. Can you repeat the options again, please?
Yep. Aubrey, Neil, or Peter.
Aubrey, Neil, or Peter. Oh, I know he wanted Neil. Like, Neil was the one that they wanted. But, okay, I'm going to go with the ice cream man. I'm going to go with Neil.
Neil is correct. So obviously the two pairs of Joe and Debbie, and then Aubrey and Neil split their votes on Liz and Peter. So Liz and Peter actually thought that Neil would be getting votes, and they were going to potentially try to send him home on the revote, but they were wrong in thinking that Joe and Debbie were voting with them. So yeah, Neil is correct. We are
so
tied.
Double overtime again.
Double overtime. Yeah, this is becoming a theme. And we are going to stay here in this Ko-Rang episode.
I don't know if I want to go to double overtime. I don't know. I got to think about it.
Dang.
Okay. Yeah. And if at any point, if either of you want to quit the game, you just have to raise the white flag and we'll end the podcast right here. So we're going to stay in this episode of Ko-Rang. So Aubrey, as we found out, did receive votes at this, at the tribal council on this episode. So I watched the episode. I was doing a little confessional counting. The question is, how many confessionals did Aubrey have during this episode? You're going to give me a number. Whoever is closest to the number is going to win the game. Like we stated last week, if you're both off by the same amount, the lower number will win. So if the answer was 50, one of you said 51, the other one said 49, 49 would win. So you can either, Rob, you could send me the answer on the Skype chat. Puya, you could send me the number on either Facebook or Twitter, however you want to do it. Okay. I have a number from Rob. Puya, who is not on the Skype chat, where are you sending me the number?
Well, he could
just
say his number then.
Oh, okay, that's true. Rob has given me his number. His number is locked in. So Puya, how many confessionals did Aubrey have in this episode?
All right, I'm going with Mambo number 5.
Mambo number 5, Rob says 4. These are actually the same two guesses from last week where Rob defeated Matt Lagora. He was actually right on the nose. The answer is 1. So Rob, you were closer. And again, on a double tiebreaker, you win the game. Yeah, Aubrey, only one. I was surprised to see this, actually. Only one confessional here. And you would think Aubrey, you know, she was a big part of the episode. She was potentially going to get voted out if Peter and Debbie wanted to go with, you don't know who they would have necessarily voted for on the revote. But yeah, Aubrey gets 2 votes here, more votes than confessionals in this episode. So Rob, you win the game by a score of 5-4, another really close one. And great job.
Oh, I thought
on
we
that,
were talking about the episode from this week.
Oh, no. We were,
okay.
we were talking about the...
Did you know what episode he was talking about?
I want to say no, but I did. I did specify
that we're staying in that same Ko Rong episode we just spoke about.
Yeah.
And by the way, Joe Anglim, if you tied there, I would have gone to the Joe Confessionals from his Worlds Apart episode, and the answer would have been three. So he got a little bit more there than Aubrey did. But Puya, great job. You had a lead there. You had a lead there for a lot of the game. You didn't sound so confident coming in, but you were very close there. A couple chances to win the game, but Rob was able to edge you out. So Rob, you're 2-0 on the season.
Okay. Hot coming into this new season. Great job, Puya. I got a couple other dumb things for you. Let's listen to...
Wait, a couple other... Are you insinuating that the quiz is dumb, Rob?
No. The quiz is fine. It's fine. Okay? Right?
Whatever, dude.
right, Reem?
It's fine. You know what, dude? It's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's listen to Keith as he tries to decide to take the red pill or the blue pill.
Dang. You have a decision to make. If you want a chance to get back in the game, take the torch and get in the boat. Whew.
Was that an Eric Stein oof, Puya?
That was indeed an oof. It was one oof, but it was an oof.
This decision might be a five oofer. Goes the wrong way. It's already a three oofer, I think, in the eyes of many of the alumni.
Yeah, and if he was the one to go out first, it would have been a foo oof, which would have been rare.
Okay. Puya, I've got some of the voicemails that didn't make the cut for my conversation with Lyrsa, if you want to hear some of those.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's listen to what Zoe wanted to answer for this week in Survivor. And so let me play this voicemail for you from Zoe.
Hey, Rob. Zoe here. So after 2 weeks of seeing Gavin in first the pineapple shirt and then the pineapple underwear on this episode, is it safe to assume that Gavin is indeed the real-life Pineapple Boy 27? And if so, do we send our feedback to Pineapple Boy 27 or to Gavin Whitson? Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Okay. Puya, could Gavin be Pineapple Boy 27?
There is a possibility. He's definitely repping the gear, which I didn't know there was Pineapple Boy merch, but he copped it somehow. He got it. I don't know. I don't know if he's advocating for pineapple on pizza. I'm not quite sure, but there's definitely a chance that he's there. I mean, he was featured in a song with Phil T, so he is around here.
Yes. What is his connection to pineapples?
I don't know. I don't know if he just likes the sweet flavor, if he thinks like,
he's not
a pineapple.
Like Hawaiian.
Right. Well, like it's kind of like, what fruit are you? He's like, okay, you know, I'm kind of like prickly and spiky on the outside, like I'm intimidating, but I'm nice and sweet on the inside.
Because the episode of The Masked Singer that I watched was where they revealed the Pineapple Boy 27. Mm-hmm. And
who was the pineapple?
It was Tommy Chong.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So maybe is that the connection?
Yeah, maybe Tommy Chong is like his great-grandfather.
He has a lot in common with Tommy Chong. I know he loves Disney, Gavin. Is he just way into like the Dole Whips? Is that it?
It's possible. There's many questions are coming up with this choice of attire. We'll have to see if there's any more, if there's more pineapple gear that he's just holding out on right now.
Okay. All right. Puya, this is a question that we got that was concerning Canadians playing Survivor. Ooh. And this is from Eric H., who really wants to call his shot.
Okay.
Hey, Rob, I just wanted to follow up on Arissa Cox last week, just real quick about the Canadians on Survivor. So I have a couple of conspiracy theories.
This is a crazy theory.
They both have to do with why Survivor is now casting Canadians. Firstly, they love the fact that people hide their occupation, so now they're going to go into the game and say, I'm not going to tell someone I'm Canadian, no. You know, with how people don't say that they're lawyers, so that's that. But the number one reason that they made this a possibility is because poker legend Daniel Negreanu, who loves Survivor, wants to be on the show, book it one of the first two seasons where they're allowed for 39 or 40, I'm assuming it's 39. Daniel Negreanu will be on the season. Book it. Conspiracy theory. Jeff Probst made it happen. And as KS Becto says, boom.
Who are you, buying or selling Eric's theory?
I mean, I'm into kid poker. I like Daniel Negreanu. And if he was to be on the season, I would love it. But I don't think Daniel Negreanu needs the rules bent for him to be there. I really don't. I mean, look at Tom Green. Tom Green gets on Celebrity Big Brother as a Canadian. I mean, he does get his citizenship after. But, like, I don't think that's needed. If they really wanted Daniel Negreanu, or if Kid Poker really wanted his name thrown in the hat, he would have been okay to get there. I don't think they needed to bend the rules over for him to be there.
Puya, will you be the first Canadian to play on American Survivor?
If I was, Rob, I will tell you this up front. I would wear Kiwi shorts and a Kiwi t-shirt.
Why? That's for New Zealand Survivor.
No, because, you know, because like a Kiwi, I'm hairy on the outside and I'm sweet on the inside.
Oh. I think that's the costume for you, the masked survivor. I don't think that's for the actual survivor.
They should do a returning player season, which is the masked survivor. So like they all know they're returning players, but they're all in costume the whole time. And then when they get voted out, you get like the jury will start chanting, "Who take it off.
So we had like the Scooby-Doo ending every single week. All right, let's see who you really were.
Yeah, you have like the octopus
Jonathan
costume
Penner.
And you take it out. Yeah.
And I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you damn meddling kids and your hidden immunity idol.
What this would Jonathan Penner's costume be?
A book.
He's the goodbye man, or what's it called?
the bye-bye man.
And then you could have somebody in like an octopus costume, and it could either be Davey Rickenbacker or Deb Eaton, because she doesn't like when people eat octopus, and Davey Rickenbacker found an octopus, so there'd be a lot of like guessing on Reddit, which one is it?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they could do like a 72-hour season, and maybe
season 40.
Maybe the man. The survivors in costumes. Okay. Puya, the Big Brother Canada cast is here. Are you pumped up?
I'm very pumped up. I'm not going to lie. I'm still behind on my research / looking at all the interviews. So the one thing I have taken in is that there is a new Persian in the house. First male Persian representative, Milad Mackie. He goes by Mackie. So Mr. Mackie, we're rooting for you, okay?
Okay. These twists are bad, okay? So, yeah, that'll be very fun. I think we're going to get into that. I think Monday night, I think we got an LFC Big Brother Canada draft coming. Puya, anything else you want to talk about?
I think we covered everything. And I think if I could do one thing is ask you nicely if we could get on August 12th, get the preseason Mike Bloom Brandt Steele of The Masked Survivor. I would love that.
Done. Please. It's done.
Okay. So how is this? So does Mike Bloom know who all the masked survivors are? So it's like, okay, it's the, you know, a jar of a peanut brittle. It's the, and then we.
Is that Jeff Farmer?
and so we go through everything and then they get voted out. And then Mike Bloom tells us, oh, so actually, the strawberry was, and then he like gives us the reveal.
I think what you do is you have, because, you know, the Masked Singer has Nick Cannon, who allegedly knows who they are already, I feel like. So you bring in a third party and they will reveal them to you both, and you both go in blind. Not okay. Blind with headphones on high volume, but blind as in you won't know what's happening.
Well, yeah, this is your idea. So yes. That if you want to be the Nick Cannon and you want to create this, and you tell Mike and I what to load into the Brandt Steele simulator, then go ahead. And you can give us the clues also along the way.
Oh my God, definitely. I'm actually all in on this. I will do it. You've got me. There's no doubt in my mind. I will take this. I will run with this.
Puya, it says that you were a fan of the monster on Twitter. Who was the monster?
The monster ended up being the one and only, the immortal T-Pain.
T-Pain.
Not T-Zane. So T-Pain. Yeah. Well, T-Pain, here's the thing. So we kind of knew going in that it's T-Pain. Like the clues got, you know, to a point where the internet found out who it was. But then T-Pain, the day of the finale, releases an album called One Up. You know, which you got to imagine. Okay, so T-Pain's winning. I checked out this album after the fact, and the monster's entire story was, you know, I got isolated from the world because they thought I was a joke, and like it all came down to, you know, people made fun of him for his auto-tune and that he's not really a singer. And he blew us away with amazing performances on The Masked Singer without auto-tune. But if you had to guess, do you think there's any auto-tune on this album, yes or no?
On which album?
On his new album, One Up, that dropped the same night as the finale.
I would say yes.
Yeah, it's all auto-tune. It's trash. It's like, come on, man. You fueled the comeback, and then this happened. But no one was happier about T-Pain winning than Leona Boris. Yes. That I can guarantee you.
Yeah. Okay, well, can't wait to see what comes up on the Masked Survivor Brand Steel extravaganza. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be so much fun. And Puyo, who's the first survivor you followed on Twitter?
Okay, so I was thinking about this because
this is like the Masked Survivor.
Yeah, I've been on these Twitter streets for a while, but I wasn't on the Survivor or Big Brother streets for a while. Like
joined
a long time
September later. 2010.
Yeah, we out here.
Yeah.
But if I had to tell you who I followed, so I would assume it would have been right around the time when I started getting back into watching proper live along with the podcasts. So, this person, let's go Masked Survivor. So this person, if they're playing Mario Kart, they would pick Toad. They love Toad. Toad is their guy. It's Spencer Bledsoe. It's the young lad.
Oh,
Spencer Bledsoe. So it was actually someone who played Survivor before Spencer Bledsoe. But Spencer Bledsoe was a Mr. Survivor. This is a former Miss Survivor, R.C. St. Amour, first Survivor you followed on Twitter.
What? She's on Twitter? I didn't even.
I was very surprised. Very, very shocked that she was the first one you followed. But yeah, R.C. St. Amour, your first Survivor follow. Congratulations.
Wow. Before Malcolm. And they were on the same season.
Before Malcolm. I was scrolling up and I couldn't even find the second one. Let me see if I could find it.
Boy, Puya, were you like a big RC stan and follow?
I had a crush on RC.
Only Queen RC. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's before I joined the streets and I learned my lessons.
I'm scrolling up pretty far and I can't even find, like, the second one is so far after RC. I'm still scrolling. Let's see if we could find it before. Okay. Spencer Bledsoe's second. But it was there were a lot of people.
He played like 3 years later.
Yeah, it was like Spencer, Parvati,
three seasons at least.
Malcolm, Russell Hans, Andrea. So Rob was like the eighth survivor you followed on Twitter.
Later on.
Yeah.
Puya, that I realized that you've been on Twitter for a minute here, but I missed my 10-year Twitter anniversary. I joined January 10th, 2009.
Oh. Well, happy 10-year.
I missed it. I would have celebrated. I would have had like a good happy 10-year anniversary, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter
well,
fam.
I got to say, Rob, your Twitter game has been, I'm not going to say on fleek because Phil T might, you know, have a bad feeling about it. But you've been killing it, Rob. I think my favorite part of the Survivor Week, outside of my rewatches, outside of live tweeting, is your closed caption tweets from every week.
That's part of my ritual where, you know, I watch the episode, you know, getting ready for the know-it-alls. But then when I do my listen, where I go back and I pull the audio clips from the show, I watch it with the closed captioning on. And my favorite one this week was where Victoria was talking bad about Aubrey. And she was quoting that Aubrey keeps saying, "You remind me of myself," and that for some reason the closed captioning picked this up as, "You remind me of Patriots." And I tweeted that out and I said, "Of all the insults these new Survivor players hurled at Aubrey, this has to be the most offensive." So she reminds me of Patriots. There's so many different terrible things that you could say to somebody that you remind me of the Patriots.
Yeah. So many options you could go with.
Yes, none of them are good.
Has anyone have you had backlash? Has Melissa from the Jeopardy episode hit back at you yet?
Not yet. Okay, good. I think Patriots Nation, even in my Survivor Fantasy Football WhatsApp group, where there was so much Patriot talk between Jeremy and Rodney and Brett LaBelle, weeks after the Super Bowl, last week I was like, "Hey, how about the Patriots? So yeah, let's get that Patriots talk going." And Jeremy just wrote back, "Season's over, bro." did not want to talk about Patriot Nation. It's the off season. Okay. All right. Puya, thank you so much for coming on with us. This was lots of fun. Of course, I'm sure you'll hear a lot from Puya coming up when the live feed updates kick off here in Big Brother Canada. Are we targeting Puya Fridays?
Puya Fridays. I've got that day booked off. That is the morning that you will be catching me on the updates with one Sir Taryn Armstrong.
Okay. Be on the lookout for it, Puyo. One of the best when it comes to breaking it down on the live feed updates with Taryn on Fridays. You can follow at Puya is almost 10 years going strong coming up this September 5th, 2020. So mark the date and time for the big 10-year Puya on Twitter anniversary.
Where do you find
this?
Do something. How do you find this information?
There you go. You hover over it. Puya just had a birthday also.
Oh, happy birthday, Puya. Yeah.
What'd you do
for
your birthday?
Thank you so much. Let's see. I didn't work, so that was nice.
Yeah.
I ended up having lunch with my sister. We went to a buffet.
What
it was
kind?
A good time. It was, let's see. So what did I have there? It was a lot of everything, Rob. Like I had jambalaya.
Whoa.
And then I had a burger. And then there was cake. And then the table next to us had a birthday and they did the happy birthday. And I thought my sister was doing it to me. So I'm glad she didn't. That would have been awful. And then I came home, watched the challenge and went to bed rather early, actually.
Were the burgers made to order or did they just have like burgers out at the buffet?
No. It was made to order.
See, that's good. Yeah. Nice.
Good stuff.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Great job.
I joined Twitter in April 2009. So I'm almost at 10 years as well.
Okay, it's all happening. It's all. Yes. What's the date? What's the 10-year anniversary?
April 2009.
Okay, all right. What were you tweeting about in April of 2009?
Probably the Yankees. I don't know. Maybe Survivor. I'm not sure.
Go Mark Teixeira. what a signing, Cashman.
Yeah, it was probably like a lot of like Girardi bat bashing, even though they won the World Series this year. If I know myself.
Okay. All right. So there you have it. Follow at Jordan Kalish on Twitter. We've got the Wiggle Room coming up next. So be on the lookout for that. If you want to get your wand offs in, we'll be recording that on Monday afternoon. Of course, so many podcasts already up this week. And don't forget to check out the RHAP B&B and Why Keith Lost as well. Over the weekend. Anything else?
We're good. I had a good time. It was fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad I gave you some opposition.
Some ops.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No ops, Rob.
Yeah,
no cap, no ops.
No ops. Okay. Robin Akiva Need a Podcast is going to be back this weekend also. I'm going to record that on Sunday. Go through the bracket of ideas. One idea will make the wheel. So be on the lookout for that in your podcast feed. And thanks again to the patrons of Rob's podcast, keeping all of this nonsense going strong here in season 38 of Survivor and beyond. So thank you so much to the patrons of Rob's podcast. For more information on everything that we're doing, go to robiswebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.